وطيبوا مجالسكم للصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. We've all heard about earthquakes. Most of us have seen the destructive nature of earthquakes through pictures in newspapers, magazines, and on TV. Earthquakes can be very destructive forces of nature. They're very frightening. And perhaps one of the most frightening things about earthquakes is that we can almost never predict when, where, and how an earthquake might strike. An earthquake can come at any time and anywhere without anyone being able to predict that time and place. And one of the ironic things about earthquakes is that when you look at it, when someone finds harshness outside, when you find work to be putting a lot of pressure on you, when you find school to be no longer bearable, when your friends abandon you, when people hurt you, when there is rain, when there is hail, when there is snow, when it's hot, when it's cold, whenever you find discomfort outside, the first and best place to go to is to your home. Whenever you find something not very comfortable outside the home, you seek shelter and you seek comfort inside your home. The ironic thing about earthquakes is that they turn these places, they turn our places of shelter, of comfort, of protection into danger zones instantly. The place we call home and find comfort inside is suddenly turned into a potential graveyard. When an earthquake strikes, and I've not only seen an earthquake, I've survived one. We were once in this building, three-story building, and suddenly we felt everything shaking. The entire building was shaking. And the first thing that comes to mind is run. The place you seek shelter inside of it, your home, is suddenly so dangerous. The most reasonable thing to do is run outside. We actually spent the night in the front yard. You escape from your own home, and that's one of the most frightening about earthquakes. They strike with such large magnitude. The most destructive earthquake, perhaps in modern history, was the one that struck China in 1976. 240,000 people died. That earthquake measured 8 on the Richter scale. And you probably know this, every increment of the Richter scale is 32 folds more than the previous increment. So a magnitude 8 on the Richter scale, a magnitude 8 earthquake is 32 times more powerful than a magnitude 7 according to the Richter scale. Now, an eight degree earthquake killed 240,000 people in a matter of seconds. That's the thing. The destruction that is brought about from an earthquake is caused, and the amount of destruction depends upon the duration of the earthquake and its magnitude. Sometimes a very powerful earthquake can come, but it might take a very short period of time, just like the one we survived. It didn't take long, even though it was powerful. But the one that struck China in 1976 was powerful, and also it took quite some time, and it destroyed a lot of homes, destroyed villages, entire cities and towns. The worst ever earthquake that struck was in the 1960s, and it measured 9.2 on the Richter scale. So that was about 40 or 50 times as powerful as the one that hit China. But it hit a desert and there weren't many people over there. And they say, seismologists and scientists say, that a magnitude 11 earthquake can destroy every man-made object on the surface of the planet. Nothing can survive, nothing can stand in front of a magnitude 11 earthquake. Everything, absolutely everything made by man will be destroyed. Now, these earthquakes are powerful, but when you compare the power of these earthquakes, for example, with the ones that occur in the bottom of the ocean, they're nothing. The ones that take place at the bottom of the ocean are much larger and much more powerful than the ones we experience on the surface. And if you compare them with, say, the size of the earth, they still measure nothing. If you compare our earth, our very planet, with our solar system, it's very small. It's almost negligible. When you compare our solar system with the rest of the Milky Way galaxy, our solar system is nothing. When you compare our galaxy with other galaxies, it's also nothing, especially considering the fact that there are over 100 billion galaxies known to man in the universe. 100 billion. There are super galaxies, which are galaxies composed of other galaxies. Supermassive, huge objects in the universe. Things that when you consider, when you compare our entities, when you compare our planet, when you compare your own home to them, you really feel small. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty Lord of the universe, the creator of everything, we call him the great. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim wa bihamdih. When we pray and we say these words, they mean al-Azim means the great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is great. Now imagine if the great Allah wanted to talk about something and he called that thing great. How great would that thing be? With all the destructive earthquakes that we've seen and the ones that are still to come, they are nothing compared to the earthquake that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran. Ya ayyuha an-nas ittaqu rabbakum inna zalzalata as-sa'ati shay'un 'azim yawma tarawnaha tadhhalu kullu murdi'atin 'amma arda'at وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد. O mankind, fear your Lord. Verily, the earthquake of the hour is terrible. The earthquake of the hour is great. This is Allah talking about it. This is not me and you talking about some huge earthquake and calling it great. Allah the Great is calling it a great earthquake that occurs on the Day of Judgment. The day you shall see it, every nursing mother will forget her nursling. And every pregnant woman will drop her load. And you will see mankind as in a state of drunkenness. Yet they are not drunk. They're not drunken. But the severity of the punishment of Allah is great. The punishment of Allah is severe. That's what makes people look as if they're drunk. They become so dizzy that they look like drunken people. This is the beginning of Judgment Day. Our life ends with a tragic ending, and that's death. Judgment Day starts with a massive earthquake. إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ. And then that's only the beginning. Judgment Day is in fact not a day, but more like a stage. It's a whole new era. If we consider our lives and the time we spend in this world, we talked about the previous world and how we spent 2,000 years before we came into this world. Well, the worlds to come are even greater. We spend maybe up to 5 billion years in the intermediate world between this one and the hereafter. But then Judgment Day starts with a massive earthquake that destroys absolutely everything, kills absolutely every living thing. And then Judgment Day starts. But it's not a day, it's a whole new era. The Holy Quran talks about it and says that day will span 50,000 years. The narration by the household of the Prophet says that we don't know whether those 50,000 years are man years or godly years. Because godly years, years of the hereafter, have to be multiplied by 1,000 years per day. And if you do the math, if you multiply 50,000 years by 1,000 years per day, you will come up with a figure as close as 18 billion years. That's how long Judgment Day will be alone. 18 billion years. And that's split into sections and stages. You finish from one stage, you spend 1 billion years in one stage, and then you go on to the next, and to the next, and to the next. And that's only the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see who's going to hell and who's going to heaven. When we do end up in heaven, inshallah, by the grace of Ahlul Bayt and the grace of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we'll stay there forever. But if we end up in hell, wal'ayadu billah, then we'll also stay there forever. And that's why people like Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful, they realize that this life really isn't worth living. This life isn't worth wasting our time and wasting our energy in living it. People like Imam Hussein alayhi salam realized this isn't worth it. And that's why he sacrificed not only himself, but his companions, his family, and even his children and his 9-month-old baby. He sacrificed all that. Why? For the pleasure and the acceptance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why on the day of Ashura, he put his forehead on the soil and he said, Ilahi ridan bi ridak wa sabran ala qada'ik. Oh Allah, I accept whatever you have set for me. And I will be patient on what you choose for me. La ma'buda siwak. There is no God and there is no one to be worshipped but you. That's why people like Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, who we remember tonight as a tradition on the night of the 7th day of Ashura, we remember Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. Why? We remember him because on the 7th day of Muharram, he was able to penetrate through the armies and get to the water and get some water back to the camp and give it to the kids. And from that day on, he was known as the person who serves drinks. Children were becoming used to it. And that's why on the day of Ashura, when he came back to Imam Hussein, telling him that those people would not listen to him, he asked the enemy to give him some water for the children. They wouldn't give him the water. He came back to Imam Hussein to complain. And he heard the kids saying, we're thirsty, because they were used to him. And that's why when he went to the water and he felt the coolness of the water, he wanted to drink it. And God, he needed that water. But he dropped it. He poured the water onto the river. Now who on earth would object to Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas if he had actually drank that water? Who would say, why did you drink from that water while your brother's waiting for the water to come back? No one would have said that. Yet he found this life to be worthless. He knew he was going to die. So why should I drink the water when there are kids waiting for the water? Why should I drink it when my master... He never called his brother Imam Hussein, oh brother. He always said, my master. Even though they were brothers. They grew up together. But he found this life to be worthless. And he had to abandon that water in order to take it back to the camp. And he lost his life doing so. And I truly don't know whether the sorrow of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas was greater for losing the water, or the sorrow of the water was greater from not being in the hands of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. He applied all the virtues, all the good virtues and the good deeds known to man on one day, the day of Ashura. And at the end of that day, a new virtue came into existence, and that virtue was called Al-Abbas. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.